Hello and welcome to your GCSE Geography Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we are diving into one of the most visually spectacular topics in the whole specification, glaciated upland landscapes. Whether you're revising for your first exam or doing a final push before results day, this episode is going to give you everything you need to understand these incredible landscapes, nail those exam questions and pick up every available mark. So, let's start with the big picture. During the last ice age, which ended roughly 10,000 years ago, much of the UK was covered by glaciers, enormous rivers of ice that slowly carved their way across the landscape. The upland areas we see today, in places like the Lake District, Snowdonia in Wales, and the Scottish Highlands, are what geographers call relict landscapes. That means the glaciers are long gone, but the landforms they created are still very much there for us to study. And that is what makes this topic so exciting. You can actually visit these places and see the geography in action. Now, let's get into the core concepts. I want to start with glacial processes, because understanding the processes is the key to understanding every single landform. There are four main glacial processes you absolutely must know. Erosion, transport, deposition, and the interaction between glacial and non-glacial processes. Let's start with erosion. Glaciers erode the landscape in two main ways, abrasion and plucking. Abrasion is like sandpaper. The glacier carries rocks and debris frozen into its base, and as it moves, these rocks grind against the bedrock beneath, scratching and smoothing the surface. This is why you sometimes see smooth, striated, that means scratched, rock surfaces in glaciated areas. The second process is plucking. This happens when meltwater at the base of the glacier seeps into cracks in the bedrock, refreezes, and locks onto the rock. As the glacier moves forward, it literally plucks chunks of rock away from the bedrock. Plucking creates the jagged, rough surfaces you see on the back walls of quarries. Remember, abrasion smooths, plucking roughens. That's a really useful contrast to have in your mind. Now, transport. Glaciers carry their eroded material in three ways. Supraglacial transport means material is carried on top of the ice. This is often rock that has fallen from the valley sides due to freeze-thaw weathering. Englacial transport means material is carried within the ice itself. And subglacial transport means material is carried underneath the glacier, dragged along the bedrock. When material is deposited, it is called till, an unsorted mixture of rocks, sand, and clay of all different sizes. This is a key difference from river deposits, which are sorted by size. Examiners love to test whether you know that glacial till is unsorted. Now, let's talk about the landforms. I'll take you through the erosional landforms first, then the depositional ones. Starting with corries, sometimes called cirques or creams. A corrie is an armchair-shaped hollow high on a mountainside. It forms when snow accumulates in a north-facing hollow. North-facing because it receives less sunlight and the snow is less likely to melt. Over time, the snow compresses into ice and the glacier begins to move through a process called rotational slip. The ice rotates within the hollow like a slow-moving wheel. Abrasion deepens the floor, while plucking steepens the back wall. A crack called a bergschrund forms at the top, where the ice pulls away from the rock. When the glacier melts, it often leaves a small lake called a tarn, held in by a rock lip or threshold at the front of the corrie. Glaslyn in Snowdonia is a brilliant example of a corrie tarn. When two corries erode back to back, they create a sharp, knife-edged ridge called an arête. Striding Edge in the Lake District is a famous example. When three or more corries erode around a single mountain peak, they create a pyramidal peak, a sharp, pointed summit. Moving down into the valley, the most dramatic erosional landform is the glacial trough, a U-shaped valley. Before glaciation, rivers created V-shaped valleys with interlocking spurs. When a glacier moves through, it erodes the valley floor and sides, cutting off those interlocking spurs to create truncated spurs, the flat-ended cliff faces you see on the valley sides. The valley becomes much wider, deeper, and has a characteristic flat floor and steep sides, that classic U-shape. Borrowdale in the Lake District is a textbook glacial trough. Where a smaller tributary glacier joined the main glacier, it couldn't erode as deeply because it had less ice and less erosive power. When the ice melts, the tributary valley is left hanging high above the main valley floor. This is a hanging valley. Water from the hanging valley often cascades down as a waterfall. And finally, roche moutons. These are asymmetrical rock outcrops. The upstream side is smooth and gently sloping because of abrasion. The downstream side is rough and jagged because of plucking. Now for depositional landforms. When a glacier melts or slows down, it deposits its load of till. Terminal moraine is a ridge of unvaulted till deposited at the snout of a glacier. It marks the furthest extent of the glacier's advance. Ground moraine is a sheet of till spread across the valley floor as the glacier retreats. Drumlins are elongated, egg-shaped hills made of till. The steep end faces the direction from which the ice came. The tapered end points in the direction the ice was moving. Drumlins often occur in swarms, large groups of them together. The Vale of Eden in Cumbria has excellent examples of drumlins. A crag and tail forms when resistant rock protects softer rock behind it from erosion, leaving a tapering tail. Edinburgh Castle sits on a famous crag and tail feature.
Now, here's something that trips up a lot of candidates, and it's really important. Just because the glaciers have gone doesn't mean the landscape is static. Physical processes are still actively shaping these relict landscapes today. The most important of these is freeze-thaw weathering, also called frost shattering. Here's how it works. Water enters cracks and joints in the rock. When temperatures drop below 0 degrees Celsius, the water freezes and expands by about 9%. This expansion puts enormous pressure on the rock, widening the crack. When temperatures rise above zero, the ice melts. The crack is now slightly wider. This cycle repeats, sometimes many times in a single day in upland areas, and eventually the rock shatters, breaking off in angular fragments called scree. You'll see scree slopes at the base of many cliff faces in glaciated uplands. The key thing to remember is that freeze-thaw is most effective where temperatures regularly oscillate around zero, not in permanently frozen or permanently warm conditions. The UK's upland areas, with their cool, wet winters and spring temperature fluctuations, are perfect for this process. Mass movement is also important on relict landscapes. Soil creep is the very slow downslope movement of soil, often visible as terracettes, small step-like features on hillsides. Rock falls and rock slides occur on the steep back walls of corries and on truncated spurs. These processes continue to modify the landscape long after the ice has gone. Now, let's talk about human activity in glaciated uplands, because this is another area where candidates often drop marks by only discussing one side of the story. The Lake District is our key UK case study here. It became a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 2017, recognising its outstanding cultural landscape, shaped by both glaciation and thousands of years of human activity. Farming in the Lake District is dominated by pastoral farming, mainly sheep grazing on the fells. The hardy Herdwick sheep is iconic to the area. However, overgrazing can lead to soil erosion and loss of vegetation cover, which in turn increases surface runoff and the risk of flooding in the valleys below. Forestry has also shaped the landscape. The Forestry Commission planted large areas of conifer plantation in the 20th century, places like Grisdale Forest. While this provides timber and recreational opportunities, critics argue that non-native conifers reduce biodiversity and alter the natural drainage of the landscape. Settlement in glaciated uplands tends to be in the valley floors, on the flat ground moraine deposits, because the steep valley sides make building difficult. Towns like Keswick and Ambleside are classic examples of valley floor settlements in the Lake District. In terms of development, glaciated uplands offer significant opportunities. Water storage and supply. The Lake District's reservoirs like Thirlmere and Haweswater supply water to millions of people in northwest England. Renewable energy. The upland areas are ideal for wind farms due to their exposed positions, though this is often controversial because of the visual impact on the landscape. Recreation and tourism. The Lake District attracts around 19 million visitors per year, generating over £1.2 billion for the local economy. However, this brings challenges.
footpath erosion, traffic congestion, and pressure on local services. Conservation, organisations like the National Trust and Natural England work to balance these competing demands, managing footpaths, restoring habitats, and regulating development.
Right, let's move on to exam tips and common mistakes. This is really important, so listen carefully. The number one mistake I see is confusing erosional and depositional landforms. Remember, erosional landforms are created by the glacier removing material. Corries, arêtes, glacial troughs, hanging valleys, truncated spurs, roche moutonnées. Depositional landforms are created by the glacier leaving material behind. Moraines, drumlins, crag and tail. If you mix these up, you will lose marks immediately. The second big mistake is describing a landform without explaining the process that formed it. Examiners want to see that you understand how and why. So don't just say a corrie is an armchair-shaped hollow. Explain that it forms through rotational slip, abrasion deepening the floor and plucking steepening the back wall. Third, when you're asked about the relict landscape, don't forget that processes are still happening today. Freeze-thaw weathering and mass movement are actively modifying these landscapes. Link the past glacial processes to the present-day physical processes. Examiners reward this kind of joined-up thinking. Fourth, in case study questions about the Lake District or another named example, always use specific facts and figures. Don't just say tourism is important. Say the Lake District attracts 19 million visitors per year, generating over £1.2 billion. Specific data earns marks. Vague statements don't. Fifth, on map skills questions, remember that on an ordnance survey map, a U-shaped valley appears as contour lines that are widely spaced on the valley floor and then very closely spaced on the steep valley sides. A corrie appears as a horseshoe of very close contours with a small lake symbol inside. Practice identifying these features on 1 to 25,000 and 1 to 50,000 maps. Now, command words. If the question says describe, give two or three developed features. What it looks like, its shape, its size. If it says explain, you need to give reasons. Use connective words like because, therefore, and this means that. If it says assess or evaluate, you need to weigh up the evidence and reach a judgment. Don't just list points. Decide which are most important and say so. Now, for our quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask the questions, pause the podcast and try to answer before I give you the answer. Ready? Question 1. What are the two main processes of glacial erosion? The answer is abrasion and plucking. Question 2. What is the term for the unsorted material deposited by a glacier? The answer is till. Question 3. What type of valley is formed by glacial erosion? V-shaped or U-shaped? U-shaped. The glacier widens and deepens the valley. Question 4. What is a tarn? A tarn is a small lake that forms in a corrie after the glacier melts, held in by a rock lip. Question 5. Name one erosional and one depositional landform. Erosional examples include corrie, arête, glacial trough, hanging valley, truncated spur, or roche moutonnée. Depositional examples include terminal moraine, ground moraine, or drumlin. Question 6. What process causes scree to form on relict glaciated landscapes today? Freeze-thaw weathering, also called frost shattering. Question 7. How many visitors does the Lake District attract per year? Approximately 19 million visitors per year. Brilliant! How did you do? So, let's wrap up with a quick summary of the key points. Glaciated upland landscapes in the UK are relict landscapes, shaped by glacial processes during the last ice age. The two main erosional processes are abrasion and plucking. Key erosional landforms include corries, arête, pyramidal peaks, glacial troughs, hanging valleys, truncated spur, or roche moutonnée. Key depositional landforms include terminal moraine, ground moraine, or drumlin. Interaction landforms include crag and tail. Today, freeze-thaw weathering and mass movement continue to modify these landscapes. Human activities, farming, forestry, settlement, tourism, water storage and renewable energy all interact with these landscapes, creating both opportunities and management challenges. The Lake District is our key UK case study. Remember the mnemonic PEDT for the four main glacial processes: plucking, erosion by abrasion, transport and deposition. And for erosional landforms, try catch, corrie, arête,
Trough, Coey Lake or Tarn, Hanging Valley. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck in your exam. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing those past paper questions. And remember, specific knowledge and clear process explanations are what earn you the top marks. See you in the next episode.